wish everybody was in the house of the Lord tonight. I really do. Verse number 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in the word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Alexander the Great was one of the most noted figures in all of history. Largely regarded as a military genius and a brilliant strategist, he chiseled his place in history through his conquerings. As with most people of importance, Alexander the Great was a very, very busy man. He was accustomed to many messages, many invitations, and many requests. With that in mind, you can understand how that one day as he was going into the games at an arena, a man rushed up to him and handed him a letter. He said, Sir Alexander the Great, it's very important that you read this letter. And told him that it was of utmost importance that he observe the contents of that letter. And the attendant told him that it was imperative that you read it immediately. But Alexander the Great simply stuck it in his belt, marched in to the arena to watch the games, to make his presence known. Within the hour, there was an assassination, and Alexander the Great lay dead in the arena. In preparing his body, they found stuck within his sash a letter sealed, marked Alexander the Great. Upon opening up the letter, they read the warning of the upcoming assassination attempt. They read where the person evidently giving the message to Alexander the Great had foreknowledge of what was going to transpire. He told him every detail of every aspect for the intended assassination, and he gave him, provided him with ways of escape in which he could evade the inevitable death that awaited him. Tonight, I'm going to give to you a message. The message that you'll hear tonight was preached in this church 3 years, 8 months, and 4 days ago. I'm going to deliver to you a message that I preached here once before, but it's with the perfect will of God that I preach to many of you that have terrible, terrible needs in this building. There are very many different types of messages. There are messages that are shotgun messages that touch everybody. There are messages that are designed and constructed by God to meet a certain class of people or a certain type of people. Then there are messages like the one that I'll read to you tonight that will be just like the finger of Nathan pointing in your face. And you'll hear the hot voice of a prophet being very direct to some of you, telling you, David, you're the one I'm preaching to. This message will not be for everybody, but I've learned in every instance the Word of God's always a preventative or a cure. If you're not sick tonight, you better take a good dose of what I'm preaching, because you'll need to hear it. If you are sick tonight, I pray that you'll read the letter before you're assassinated by the enemy. I've got to preach to you tonight the Word of the Lord. Hear the Word of the Lord, open it up, and read the way of escape that I'm going to deliver to you. Again, some 3.5 years after I preached it for the first time at this church, I'm preaching to you a bottle in the smoke. A bottle in the smoke. I don't know that I've ever come to this congregation and preached a message that I had priorly preached here. I'm preaching it to you tonight, and I'm asking you to pray for those that need this message in this sanctuary. Would you lift your hands up and do that right now? Thank you. the name. I want you to intercede right now. Somebody needs to make intercession for somebody that needs to hear this message. Somebody needs to make intercession right now for somebody that needs to hear the word of the Lord. Don't just pray, but go beyond prayer into a realm of intercession for somebody. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Want to begin today by talking to you about a subject that all of us should know something of. I want to talk to you about the last days. I am not a prophecy preacher. I know some prophecy. I enjoy reading prophecy. But in all honesty, I don't preach a lot of prophetic things pertaining to the last days, not because I don't understand it. There's some of it I understand very well, and there's some of it I've heard explained so many different ways, I'm not sure anybody understands it. But there's one thing I do know. I know He's coming. We'll have to spend much time. I don't think I'll have to spend much time convincing you tonight that these are the last days. I don't think so. I don't perceive that anybody in here thinks we've got a long time to keep doing what we're doing. If I didn't have the Word of God, I didn't have the elements around me, I didn't have the knowledge of what the last days would bring, I think that I feel enough in my spirit to let me know that there's a change fixing to take place. This world's in turmoil. Their hearts are in turmoil. Don't think I've got to spend a lot of time trying to convince you it's the last days, but I do think we can better understand the issues facing the church in the last days when we understand a little bit about what the Bible says of the last days. In looking at the scriptural view of the last days, we find the Bible tells us of many things that are going to come upon the church. Among the most precious promises that we have in all the Word of God regarding the last days was a prophecy given by Joel that Pentecostals and evangelicals have held on to throughout the ages. It was repeated by Peter on the day of Pentecost when somebody said, "These men are drunk." And he said, "But these men are not drunk as ye suppose. But this is that which is spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days," somebody say, "In the last days. In the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men are going to see visions. Your old men are going to dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I'll pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy." I believe with all of my heart, with everything that you see standing in this pulpit tonight, from the top of my balding head to the bottom of my size 13 feet, I want to tell this congregation today, I believe there'll be a great revival before Jesus comes. I can also tell you that I intend for this church to be a part of that great revival. I do not believe that every congregation will see revival. I don't believe that. I believe there are some congregations that will become apostate in their way of doing things. I believe there are some congregations that will reject the ways and the oracles and the landmarks of the Lord. And And I don't believe that they're going to have revival. I don't believe that for a minute. But I do believe there will be certain places that God will pour out revival like never before. I am of the opinion that there have been churches that have been stagnant for years that will catch fire and get the vision of the Lord, and God will pour out revival upon them in the last days. I'm of the conviction in my heart that there will be churches that have slipped and slid somewhat in their convictions and in their standards, that God will restore to them their convictions. And they'll come back stronger than they've ever been, and they'll end up being a mighty powerhouse for the Lord in the last days of revival. Not all of them, but those that really love truth, I believe, will be swayed back into total doctrine and total conviction. And then I believe there'll be churches like Abundant Life that have served God faithfully for years and years and years that'll get behind a preacher and say, "Brother White, we're going to have revival. We're going to have a move of God." I really believe that, and I tell you today without hesitation, I intend for this church to be a part of that last day revival. I intend, if God should tarry, I intend to see these children like Alex and some of these other children, bus students and the children of the saints of this church as we grow older. I intend to see them stand in a pulpit and prophesy and the power of God fall on them, to be used with the gifts of the Spirit, to be used and anointed of the Lord to do things. I intend to see that. I intend for there to come such a spirit of restoration and revival upon the church that our old men begin to dream dreams again about what it's supposed to be, and young men begin to see visions. I think sometimes we're very limited in what God does among the people of God. We think all the gifts of the Spirit are tied up in tongues and interpretation. I long for the day that visions are commonplace again in the house of God. I long for the day that men can stand up with prophecy in their heart and the Holy Ghost on their lips and tell us what thus saith the word of the Lord. I long for that kind of day, and I believe we stand on the threshold of that at Abundant Life. I tell you today, I believe that. It's not a facade and it's not fake words that try to pump you up. I'm not telling you empty words that are hollow of meaning to try to get you to preach with me tonight, because I really could care less if you do or don't. I've come tonight to tell you that there will be revival, and I intend for this church to be the one that has revival. I believe that in every region there will be a church, at least a church, that will come to the forefront and be a powerhouse, that will be a catalyst for revival and restoration. And I intend for this area to be able to look at Abundant Life and say, they still preach the doctrine. They still have the Spirit. They still love the worship. They still preach the Word. I intend for this church to be that kind of church. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost up here tonight. I tell you, I intend for this church to be the kind that seals me and the outlying areas can look at and say, I don't know what's happening in the world, but I do know where I can find God. I can find it where they still pray, where they still fast, where they still dress right. Well, I want to say this today, and I'm not up here to ride some emotional horse. I'm up here to tell you I believe the world still knows. Those that know how to touch God know how to live for God. I believe those that still touch God still live right, still look right, still talk right, still act right. I still believe that. And I believe this world is smart enough to know if you need somebody to touch God, find somebody that's living for God. Find somebody that's walking with God. Find somebody that marches to the beat of God's drum. Hallelujah. Yet on the other hand, I realize that the last days is going to bring more than just revival. The same Bible tells me in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, this know also, don't just know revival, but this know also, In the last days, perilous times are going to come. Men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Folks, I want to tell you something. If you've never looked around you lately, we are in the last days. We stand facing prophetic times that have ushered in a devouring spirit of evil like this world has never known. We stand right now at the prophetic threshold of the prophecy of 2 Timothy that the last days has ushered in evil men and seducers. They're waxing worse and worse, truce makers, incontinent, without natural affection. We live in a day that men love pleasures more than they love God. We stand in the time that devouring spirits of evil and temptation are reached into this world and they are consuming this world. Did you ever know what God meant when He said it was a consuming thing? Let me tell you what I think God was dealing with and what I can show to you scripturally God was dealing with. When you read and He says in the last days that perilous times are going to come, it talks about a devouring spirit that would come upon the earth. I can take you to the Word of God where it talks about devouring spirits upon the earth. It's a derivative and its traces run me back to a scripture that was Isaiah's prophecy of the last days. And I think Isaiah summed it up real well when he declared, "Wickedness burneth as a fire, and it shall devour the briars and the thorns, and it shall kindle in the thickets of the forest, and it'll mount up like the lifting up of smoke." I want you to hear me today. Wickedness is burning like a fire upon this earth. It's burning like a fire on mankind. I want you to hear me well. There was a day that I wasn't afraid of anybody nor anything. And I suppose that in the spirit I'm still not afraid of anybody or anything. But there are things that I'm seeing coming out of humanity that scares me now. There are spirits that I've found in the evil hearts of humanity. Evil is burning and consuming the hearts of humanity like I've never seen it in all of my life. The flames of temptation and sin are scorching the hearts of humanity. It's burning away morality. It's burning away purity. It's burning away godliness. It's burning away convictions and all that it leaves behind it is the callous hearts of evil men. I think there's a lot to be said about the prophecy that in the last days things were going to pass away with a fervent heat. The Bible said that all would melt with a fervent heat. And I honestly do believe tonight, and I can tell you with all surety, I believe that very figuratively He is talking that there will come a battle and probably at Armageddon that has the potential to destroy the population of the world. And all of this world will melt away with a fervent heat. But I also believe in the typological prophecy that was given here, that in the last days all of it would pass away with a fervent heat. I want to tell you, and please listen to me tonight, that evil is going to come in the last days, and I believe it's here. That evil is going to burn with such heat that temptation and sin will literally melt away everything that's not built upon God. Everything that does not have a real relationship with God. That's why families are being consumed. That's why the younger generation is being consumed. That's why the alcoholic is being consumed. That's why the drug addicts are being consumed tonight. Because evil is upon this earth like a raging fire. And it's consuming the hearts of men. It's consuming the hearts of all mankind. You let me tell you, there's something wrong when drive-by shootings are normal. There's something wrong when drug addiction breaks down the walls of the
generation gap, and children like Alex, and old mamas and old grandpas are on drugs. There's something wrong. I'll tell you tonight what it is. The spirit of hell has been loosed up a wall unto the inhabitants of the earth. For Satan has come down having great wrath, knowing that he had but a short time to work. That word wrath means fiery indignation. I'll tell you that evil is being poured out today like it's never been poured out. Evil is consuming the land today like it's never consumed it. And we live in that kind of a day.
I tell you, I believe with all of my heart that everything that does not have a real relationship with God, they're going to melt away in the fervent heat of the evil of this day. Oh, yeah. You know what? There's some people in here tonight that feel exactly what I'm talking about. There's some people here tonight, you've been on the edge of the church, you're not even in the church. You feel exactly what I'm telling you. You feel like evil. You feel like sin and temptation has come close to controlling you. It's come close to consuming you. Hey, you're not the only one. What scares me is the whole world is like that. The entire world is running headlong into a devil's hell. They've got fire before them and fire behind them chasing them. They're like an animal caught in a big forest fire somewhere. They've got the fires of hell before them, and the fires of sin and temptation is driving them headlong into eternity's flames. I tell you that evil is like a fire upon this earth that consumes everything. Only one life will soon be passed. I said it this morning. Only what's done for Christ will last. If it's not built on a rock, there's coming a shaking. If it's not built on a sure foundation, the floods will come. The fire will come. It will consume you. And even by saying that, I don't mind telling you, that's not to say that we won't feel the heat. I want you to know, by virtue of living in this world, we're going to feel the heat of trials and temptations like never before. Hey, I feel a unique anointing here tonight. With this in mind, it'd be easy to question God and wonder, God, why are you letting us go through this? I think if you'd be honest with me, there's people in this sanctuary that would say, Brother Watt, in the last year I've gone through greater trials than I've ever gone through in all of my life. I guarantee you 50% of this church could say that. In the last year, Brother Watt, I've walked through darker valleys than I've ever walked through in all of my life. In the last year, Brother Watt, I've walked through things that I never dreamed I'd have to walk through holding God's hand. See, there's some of you that know what it's like to walk through the fire. I've got to tell you today, we're going to feel it like never before. But with this in mind, you might wonder why we have to fight evil and temptation like the rest of the world. But before you throw in the towel, and before you start feeling like God takes pleasure in abusing His children, I've got a little encouragement I need to do tonight. I want to tell you the beauty of the fire. You see, while the fire's coming upon the face of the earth, the same fire that's destroying families in the world, the same fire that's destroying homes in the world, the same fire that's destroying lives in the world, I believe with all of my day, if there's any beauty in the fire of the evil that's being poured out today, it's that God is going to take the very thing that's driving the world to its knees, and He's going to let the fire come through the church, and it's going to purify us. The trials that God sends our way are going to be there to purify us and make us more pure and make us stronger. I don't mind telling you, say, Brother White, it's the wrath of God being poured out on the world. I'll tell you, yes, it is. God said, I'm going to let it come down. And evil's going to come down and touch that generation. The nation that forgets God, they're going to pay a price. And we've forgotten Him in America.
They kicked him out of the schools. They kicked him out of the courts. They kicked him out, but I'll tell you one place you'll never kick him out of. You'll never kick him out of creation. He's the one that created it. He's the one that made it all. He'll be God when the judges lay in a grave. He'll be God when the school systems are no more. He's still God. He'll be God when all this world falls by the wayside. He's still God.
And yes, God's allowing the fires to flow through the earth. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of the Lord. It's not that God's sending all the trials and temptations to the church. It's just that God's withdrew his hand enough to let hell begin to belch its ugly smoke in your face. He's allowed hell to pour enough sin and fire in the world that like a volcano that's rushed over. The Bible said that hell hath enlarged. You let me preach to you something right now while I feel the Holy Ghost talking to my heart. The Bible said that hell hath enlarged her borders. You ever seen a volcano enlarge its borders? It begins to puke that stuff out. It begins to shoot that lava forth until islands are created in the middle of oceans. It begins to spit the lava out until it runs down into the villages. And things that used to be villages stand a desolate desert. I tell you today that hell is enlarging its borders because no longer is hell in the lake of fire, but hell is in our streets. It's in the projects. It's in the alleys. It's in the politics. Hell is taking over. Hell's enlarging its border. It's not like it's ever been. Evil has come upon this earth. You listen to me as I preach to you. Hell has allowed its borders to be enlarged. But God, in the midst of hell, has put a church there and said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. It may run into the streets. It may run into the politics. But I tell you, hell will never come into God's church. It will never come in to God's people. No, I'm not telling you about a cruel God. I'm telling you about a God that loves us so much that as the lava and the fires of hell begin to burn around our ankles while it destroys the rest of the world, God will use it to protect and preserve and purify the church. How do you know that, Brother White? I charge you to remember that it was Samson that picked up the jawbone of an ass. And with the jawbone of an ass, he slew the enemy. That weapon was a destroyer for the enemies of God. But when he was tired, when he was weary, Brother Scott, he went back to the jawbone of the ass. And he picked it up, and there was cleaving out. It hit a hollow place. And he drank out of there an endless supply of water that supplied his thirst. Let me tell you today, the fires of temptation and sin is destroying the world. But when trials come our way, God said, you're going to feel the fire, but I'm going to let it temper you. I'm going to let it purify you. It'll destroy the world, but it'll preserve the church. It'll destroy the world, but it'll glorify the church. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Clap your hands to the Lord right now. Sister Gwen, the Bible tells us that we're tried by fire and that our trial is more precious than gold. No, I understand. This is not popular preaching, but this is realistic preaching. You will be tempted with sin. You will fight carnality, and it will lead you into trials. You will walk in the valley. If there's a consolation in walking in the fire, it's easy to complain and wonder why we go through trials. It's easy to complain and say, why? And I've said that a lot lately. I've said that in sickness. I've said it in trials. I've said, why, God? But in God's wisdom, you just walk in the fire, saints. Because somewhere,
some glorious daybreak. We're going to step out different.
Oh, Brother White, don't tell us we're going to go through trials. Hey, sweetheart, you don't need me to tell you that. If you've lived in the last 6 months, you ought to know that firsthand. Brother Scott, there's a spirit that says, don't tell me we're going to walk through the valley. But son, you know what it's like. You've walked in the valley this year. But I've got to tell you that in God's wisdom, God's going to prove the true church by the fire. The Bible says every man's work shall be made manifest, for that day shall declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. It'll bring forth the good in the church, and it'll bring forth damnation to the world. I'm telling you, if I've got to walk in a trial, let me walk until I'm pure. Let me walk until I'm righteous. Let me walk until I can hold my head up, until the Master Builder can see His reflection in my life. Let me walk until I'm pure gold.
I'm trying to tell you today, just as the days of Noah, the same water that destroyed the world elevated Noah and those that were saved to a new dimension. The fires of evil are going to destroy this world. But I tell you, it's going to lift this church to a new depth of spirituality, to a new realm of purity, to a greater dimension of power. It's going to lift this church up.
That's the kind of church God wants. Did you know that's what God's looking for in the last days? By simply saying, Amber Holder, the last days, we're talking about that last generation that's going to get ready before God comes. But you know what Revelation tells us? What God desired in a last day church? When He said, I counsel thee, you go buy me gold tried in the fire. I don't want no fake gold. I don't want no gold full of dross. I don't want no gold full of filth and impurities. I counsel thee, you go buy me some gold tried in the fire. Halabushataya. I'm telling you, you're going to go through trials, but those trials are going to produce a church that's purer than the purest gold. I want you to hear me today. I'm simply telling this church that walking through trials is not an option. Did you know that? Walking through fiery trials is not a choice. God told Isaiah in Isaiah 43 and 2, He said, you go tell the people of every generation, when thou walkest through the fire, I'll be with thee. He didn't say if you walk through the fire. Brother Harold, He didn't say if by chance you stumble in the fire, I'll be with thee. No, God said, you go tell them when you walk through. I like that word, when you walk through. I like the way God said that, Brother Dale. When you walk this through the fire, I'll be with you. I'm going to walk there and I'm going to hold your hand. Hey, I want to tell you something. You will walk through the fire. But God said, I'll be there with you. So let the point be established today and forever written with an indelible pen upon your minds. You will walk through the fire. But it seems to me that Satan has discovered God's grace towards the saints in the trials. And now Satan is attacking the church in another method. It seems to me that Satan has found out God's glory upon those that stumble through the fire. But now Satan has tried a new method of attack. And might I say, he's been successful with some of you in this building. That's the thing that I want to deal with tonight in the lives of many of you. Within the confines of this building, there are those that I know have been struggling. Within the confines of this sanctuary,
I've watched Satan turn up the heat in some of your situations. I've seen the dark clouds of trials and temptation rise in your face like smoke. But I'm going to tell this congregation tonight, as much as I love you, Sister Miles, and as much as I wish I could have walked through the fire for you, as much as I love the people of this assembly, and there have been others that have walked through it, as much as I love you, Brother Beckworth, and as much as I wish I could have walked through the fire so you didn't have to, I've got to tell you that you've got to walk through the fire for yourself. But I've also got to tell you, I'm not so much worried about the fire in your life. I'm not worried about that. Because I know that fire can heal you. That fire can cauterize those bleeding places. That fire can mend you, can make you stronger than you've ever been. But let me tell you what I do worry about. What worries me is what I see happening to some of you, Amber, after the trial's over. What bothers me is what I see hell trying to accomplish after the trial's completely through, Rusty. That's what worries me. You see, something happened to me, and God gave me something over 3.5 years ago in this sanctuary. It was around 3.5 years ago that I was dealing with some people, and God taught me a lesson that I'll never forget, Dale Stevens, to the day I die. I was dealing with some people that had some problems, and it seemed like their problems were over with. They walked through the trial, and it seemed like their trial was done. But I noticed that after the trial was over with, I couldn't seem to get them back in the flow of the church. After hell had been in their lives and we'd swept out all the ashes, I couldn't seem to get them to come back in to the full flow of the assembly of God's body. I was so disturbed about this situation that I remember being so concerned about it that I laid awake all night long in the floor of the sanctuary. I can tell you where I was at. It's not hard for me to do that at all. I was in this building, and as I was in here praying, I laid on the floor of this assembly all night long. I laid right here between these front two pews and the altar. And as I laid there spread out before the Lord, I began to tell the Lord, Lord, they're going to die. Lord, they're not going to make it. Lord, I don't see any way for them to survive. If I can't pull them back in to the flow of the body, God, I don't know how they're ever going to make it. If I can't somehow get a hold of their spirit and pull them back to where they used to be, Lord, they're going to die. I begin to tell the Lord how weary I was. I don't know about you. Maybe you're smart and you got all the answers, but this is one preacher that has to talk to God. This is one preacher that has to fall on his face and say, God, I'm weary. I don't know the answer. I don't know which way to turn. And I laid there, and after much soul searching, the Lord came and ministered to my heart at exactly 5:00 in the morning. At exactly 5:00, the Lord spoke to me, and He flooded my soul with a sense of urgency. And I was telling the Lord, Lord, if You'll just give me a scripture, if You'll just give me a word from the Lord, I'll go to them and tell them. And the Spirit of the Lord come to me, Sister Melita. And the Lord spoke to me and said, they're like a bottle in the smoke. I thought that was real unique. Because though I've read my Bible through several times, I don't ever recall, I had never recalled reading that word in the scripture. And I was real concerned about it. And I got up and I went and began to find in my Bible. I began to find where David spoke to the Lord in the midst of his distress. And David told the Lord, my soul faileth for salvation. God, I'm saved, but I'm barely saved. Hello? God, my soul fainteth for thy salvation,
My eyes fail for your words. God, I'm hearing the preaching, but I can't see where it's doing any good. When wilt thou comfort me? David said, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke. There was an urgency that David tried to express. Are you with me tonight, church? There was an urgency that David tried to express to the Lord by saying, I'm like a bottle in the smoke. To understand that urgency, you'd have to study as I did that night what he was saying. When I thought of a bottle in the smoke, I thought of the potter. And I thought of how the potter molded and made the vessel. And I knew that that clay vessel had to go into the fire. But as I began to study, I found out that was not at all what he was saying. In that day and in throughout the scripture, any time you read about bottles, you'll find two different words used. There was the bokbuk, which was clay like a potter's vessel. And then there was the nadal. The nadal was the type that David spoke of. Brother Jim, it was used of skins. It was made up of wine skins, and it was used mainly for wine. They used it for one purpose and one purpose only. That was to carry wine within these skins, because they knew on long journeys when the water was not fit to drink, they could put the skins there and they could fill it with wine. And if the bottle fell, Amber, and hit the ground, and the donkey stepped on it or the ass stumbled across it, they knew because of the soft nature, the pliable nature of that, it was expandable and it could move this way and that way, and it would not destroy the skin. They knew that they would have something that was durable, that could stand the test of time. But the Bible lets us know that David said, Lord, I've become like a bottle in the smoke. It was when I began to trace back down about this nadal, about this wineskin, that I found something unique about it. It could take traveling for long distances of time. As long as there was wine within the skin, it could take the hot burning sun of the desert. But if there was one thing that hindered the bottle, it was if somebody built for themselves a fire and they left this bottle too close to the fire and the smoke began to get upon the skin. Let me tell you why that is. If they left it there too long, this skin became parched and it became hard. It lessened its durability, and where before it was pliable and it would seldom ever spring a leak, if it was left in the smoke too long, that smoke began to dry it out, Brother G.L. Holder, and it dried it out until it became brittle and it became hard. The second thing that it did is it caused the skin to shrivel and to shrink up. You see, the wineskins of that day held between 4.5 and 5 gallons of wine. Somebody say amen. I need your attention tonight. Don't sleep on me, please. It caused it to shrink when it was left in the smoke. And that bottle that one time held between 4.5 and 5 gallons of wine began to shrivel up. And suddenly it would only hold between 1 to 1.5 gallons of wine. But worse of all, it rendered the bottle useless. Because, have you ever stood around a campfire before? I've stood around the barbecue pit out here, Brother Kelly. You know what I'm talking about. And that smoke blows on you, Brother Bower, all day long. And when you go home, you can take 100 showers. But somewhere you can still smell the smoke that gets in the pores of your skin. Because of the porous nature of the skin, it made it susceptible to odors. And smoke would get into the nature of that bottle. And it did not matter how good the wine was that was poured in. When it was poured out, it was tainted. And it tasted like the smoke. And they... How can a beautiful walk with God become a shallow experience? Let me tell you, I knew a man that was so sensitive to God. man that was a young preacher in a church that I was well acquainted with. This young man, I was in the office praying one night. They were in a building program, and while I was in the office praying, many of the men were out working on the building. The Lord spoke to me. The Lord said to me, "Tonight, I will send angels into this building. And angels will minister to those with needs." I knew I had heard from the Lord. I scribbled down what God had told me so that I would know word for word. It was less than 5 minutes later. Brother Tom Hunley comes screaming in the door. And he said, "Brother White," he said, "I just saw an angel walk in the door. I just saw an angel walk into the building." He began to tell me the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said angels were coming to the church tonight to touch those with need. He said, "Brother White, I lifted up my eyes and I saw angels descending and walking through the building, walking into the sanctuary." I tell you, he was close to God. He knew what God was like. He knew how to be used with the gifts of the Spirit. But he also knew what it was like to walk in the fire. And I watched that same young man walk through a trial, a hard trial, a bitter trial. But I noticed something happened to him. After the bitter trial was over, I watched that same young man, no matter when I'd come around him, he'd say, "Brother White, I guess you heard about my problem. Brother White, did you know what I just went through? It seemed like no matter what we poured into him, Sister Best, all that ever come out was smoke." That man that knew what it was like to pray for hours and hear the voice of God. The last time I preached there, I got a phone call at 2:30 in the morning. The last time I preached away from this church, I got a phone call at 2:30 in the morning, around 2:30 in the morning. And that man was on the other end saying, "Brother White, can you touch God for me? Brother White, where'd God go? A million miles away from God, a broken family, a broken home, married to a woman who watched her husband commit suicide so that she could run off with this man. You hear me today? How does it happen? When does it begin? It all begins when you walk through the fiery trial. It's one thing to have a trial, but you've got to get out of the smoke. You've got to come out of the defeated attitude. You've got to have your mind redeemed. Let your mind be renewed." Oh, I'm telling many of you what I'm talking about. I listened to a woman weep one day after making a start for God. I had went to their house. I talked to them. The paraphernalia of their sin, I shall never forget it till the day that I die. The paraphernalia of her sin, she had gotten rid of. She made a start for God. As I was leaving the door, she said, "Brother White, would you get rid of this for me?" As I walked out the door, she turned around. She said, "Brother White, wait." And I turned around and looked at her and she said, "I got rid of my sin, but what do I do with what's left in my heart?" You know what that is? That's the smoke. The backslidings were over. The trials were over. It was all done. But somewhere you've got to come out of the smoke. Somewhere you've got to come out of that mentality. It's one thing to get out of a trial, but it's another thing to walk away from the attitude and the defeated mentality and the frustration and the futility that goes with it. I tell you, I do not fear the fire, but I do fear living in the smoke after the trial's over. Get up! Get up! March out of it. March out of your shame. March out of your guilt. My God, I'm preaching to some of you tonight. I would to God your heart could hear me. March out of the shame. March out of the embarrassment. March out of the iniquity. March away from it. Brother Jimmy, you can tell this to be true. You're the first one that told me. There's a basic truth that anybody trained in fighting fires can tell you. Come to me all over again here a while back when I was with Brother Paul Darks in a police cruiser. A house had caught fire here in town. And as we stood there while the firefighters began to fight the fire blocking the road,
begin to inquire of Paul. And I said, Brother Paul, I said, I wonder if there's anybody in the fire. I wonder if there's anybody in there being burned alive. And I had been told it over and over again, but Brother Paul refreshed my memory. Brother Paul told me, he said, Brother White, he said, you don't realize if they're in there, the fire's probably not bothering them. You don't realize the danger of fire, Brother White, is really not the flames. The thing that kills more people than the flames will ever kill is the smoke. The smoke kills more than the fire will ever kill. I'm trying to preach to some of you tonight that have recently walked through trials. The fires died down. The embers flicker at your feet. The burning faggots that refuse to go away, they lay at your feet today. But my God, you got to get out of the smoke. You got to walk away from the shade. You got to get your spirit back in church. I'm trying to preach to you. Fight for your life. I may fight fire that makes me pure, but I refuse to stay in the smoke. Temptation and spirits over and over and over. When God said I didn't have to, some of you have never regained the joy. Some of you have never regained your worship. You've never regained that fighting spirit that made you great. I tell you tonight, it's time to rise. Sure, you failed. Sure, you made mistakes. Sure, you know what the valley looks like. But now it's over. Get out of the smoke. Get out of the smoke. Regain what you had in the Lord. My God, I wish somebody would hear me. There's young people. There's young people that have walked through the fire in this place. Okay, you did. You're shamed. You're embarrassed. Now get out of the smoke. I say the trial's done. Get out of the smoke. The flames are over. Get out of the smoke. The frustration's through, son. Get out of the smoke. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. If you'll just get out of the smoke. Lift your hands up and ask the Lord to help you right now. Micah 7:8. Hey, the Bible teaches, Brother White, I don't think I'll ever make it back to that place. The Bible tells about a story about David. Yeah. Yeah, David. Man after God's own heart that made a stupid mistake. He could walk with God. He could stand against the enemy Saul. But he didn't know how to keep his pants right. He didn't know how to keep his spirit right. He didn't know how to control his lust. And this man commits a sin with Bathsheba. And after he falls into sin with Bathsheba, she was with child. And as God would have it, when the child was born, the child was sickly. The child was dying and near death. And I see David walking in the fiery trial. What are you doing, David? The Bible said that David laid there in the sackcloth of the ashes. He poured the sackcloth upon himself. Then he took the ashes, stinky, smoky ashes, and he threw the ashes up. And he laid on the ground in mourning. And the Bible said that when it was all done, after the days of the child's sickness were full, and the child died, David looked upon his servants. He perceived that the child was dead. What you going to do now, David? David, it's time to mourn now. David, your baby's dead. It's time to cry. But David stood up. He washed the ashes off.
And he laid the sackcloth on the side and began to wash the ashes off the Bible's head. And he anointed his head and he changed clothes and he lifted up his hands and he began to worship the Lord. What were you doing before the trial, David? I had my hands in the air. I was worshiping. I was loving God. I was serving God. Then the trial came, and David knew what the sackcloth and ashes were. But I tell you, when the sackcloth and ashes, when the trial was over, when the fire died down, David said, the trial's over. I refuse to live in the smoke. I made a mistake. I've been wrong. But I refuse to live defeated. I'm going to rise. I'm going to go where the baby is. I'm going to make it. I'm going back to worship. I'm going back to victory. I'm going back to God.
What are you preaching, preacher? There comes a time you need to crawl to your feet and get out of the smoke. Hallelujah. The devil can only come so close, and then God said you can have deliverance. The smoke would like to tell you you can't see God. He's not there. It's the best you can do. But I tell you, just beyond the smoke of your trial, there is a way of escape. There hath no temptation taken you that such as is common unto man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with every temptation make a way of escape. It's time to get out of the snow. It's time to come out of the trial.
Ready?
The devil would like nothing more. The devil would like nothing more than to tell you that there's no way out. The devil would like nothing more than for God to open up a door of deliverance and you lay there in the smoke. Don't lay there another day.
Rejoice not, no, against me.
Rejoice not against me.
Oh, my enemy. Will I fall?
I will fall. When I fall, I shall arise.
Will I sit in darkness?
Will I sit in the smoke?
The Lord shall be a light unto me.
I shall arise. I may stumble. Young person, you may fall. Older saint, you may slip. But though I fall, I shall arise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord, He'll be a light to me. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. You've got to get out of this smoke. Hallelujah. Lift your hands up and praise the Lord. Don't lay there in the fire. There's times I feel like the three Hebrew children. Every way that I turn, I feel the heat of the furnace. How many times have I found myself bound, walking in the furnace? But let me remind you, they didn't lay there. The fire burned off their bands. Oh, would to God the fire would just make you want to live, make you want to rejoice in the Lord. Notice what happened when the Hebrew boys walked through the fire.
And the princes, governors.
And the princes,
governors.
And the governors.
And captains.
And captains.
And the king's counselors.
And the king's counselors.
Began gathering together.
Being gathered together.
Saw these men upon whose body.
Saw these men upon whose body.
Had no fire.
The fire
had no power.
Nor
was the hair of their head singed.
Neither was their coat.
Neither was their... You know what I wish? I wish I had some of you that the trial didn't drag you down. It had no power over you. It didn't singe your glory. Hallelujah. I wish it didn't change your appearance. How does it happen?
Nor smell.
The smell
of fire
had passed on them. You want to know why their glory wasn't taken away? While their appearance hadn't changed? While the trial didn't affect them? They didn't stay in the smoke. They didn't even smell that smoke when they walked out of the furnace.
I'm preaching to some of you that have lost your joy. You've lost your shout. You've lost your desire. I've come to you tonight with a sure word from the Lord. The trial's over. The fire's gone. Get out of the smoke. Clap your hands to the Lord right now. Stand with me right now. I could preach forever, but I'm telling you, God's trying to speak to some hearts. Worse than any man I can find in all the Word of God. Sitting in ashes. Giving every waking moment to thinking about how bad life was. Groaning and cursing the day he was born. Job, for 40 chapters, set in a trial. Did you hear me? For 40 chapters, Job sat in a trial. But God changed it all around with a few verses. God never intended him to stay in the ashes where the fire was gone. Suddenly God speaks from a whirlwind. Listen to what he says.
Gird up thy loins now.
You're in sackcloth and ashes, Job. Gird up now thy loins like a man.
I will demand of thee.
I'll demand something of you, old boy.
And declare thou unto me.
You tell me the answer.
Would thou also disannul?
Disannul my judgment? Would you try to make me look like I'm not just?
Would thou condemn me?
Would you try to condemn me by laying in the smoke?
That thou mayest be righteous.
You want to prove to everybody how righteous you are by being so pitiful? Let me tell you the answer.
Hast thou an arm like God?
Hast thou an arm like God?
Or canst thou thunder with a voice like him?
Canst thou thunder with a voice like him? What's the answer?
Deck thyself now.
You're in sackcloth and ashes.
Majesty and excellence.
Deck now thyself with majesty and excellence.
And array thyself.
And array thyself
with glory and
with
beauty.
Glory and beauty. And with those words, God turned a 40-chapter trial into a blessing. When did it start? When God said, Job, the fire burned out a long time ago. Get out of the smoke. I feel enough anointing in this place. I feel my legs are literally on fire tonight with what I feel. There's enough of the Holy Ghost in this place tonight to deliver you. There's enough. God said, I will restore the year that the kicker warmeth in the way.
I'll restore what the Palmer worm. I'll restore all those things. There's some of you that have lost. There's some young people that have lost things in the trial. All right. The pastor's speaking to you now. The fire's gone. It's time to get out of the smoke.